Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
And now, Genesis chapter 49, we're going to look at 12 verses of scripture, but the whole chapter is about prophecy and a declaration over these sons and the tribes that they would become. So stand up on your feet. If you're able to, take your device, take your Bible, whatever you got. It's also going to be on the screen. Just two verses of scripture, but we'll look at all 12 verses this afternoon. Genesis 49, verse 1. Are you ready? Then Jacob called for his sons and said, "Gather around so I can tell you what will happen in the days to come. Assemble and listen, sons of Jacob. Listen to your father Israel. Lord, we pray, move in great power. Even as you did in the first service, move in even greater way this afternoon through this service now. Anoint these lips of clay. Your word go forth and hit its mark, knowing that it does not return void. Each and every one of us have a desire to see your desire fulfilled, to see the dream, to live the dream. The dream would come to pass, that in the end, when we stand before you, we'd hear, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.' We're so grateful. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen." Amen. You may be seated. Blessings and curses are real. Let me say that again. Blessings and curses are real, and you'll see them throughout Scripture. Somebody said, "I thought that's just an Old Testament concept." No, no. No, the curse is real. And you can read through Scripture and do an overlay on your life, and I'll just tell you, if you see, listen closely what I'm about to say. Bump your neighbor and say, "Listen up." Okay, if you see ongoing loss, ongoing sickness, ongoing disease, ongoing accidents, ongoing torment, mental torment, physical torment, anguish, you see that in your life repeatedly, and you've seen it in your family, then I'm just telling you that could be and very possibly is the operation of a curse. Not feeling the love right now. Trying to help you. There is blessings and there are curses. He said, "But I do have that." Well, you can break it off of your life. Divorce was a curse that came on my family. It'll never come back again. Other things as well. How about you? Poverty's a curse. Sickness can be a curse. I think alcoholism is a curse. They found out that it's genetic. Curses can be passed down, generational sin and iniquity, but aren't you glad that the curse breaker came? Aren't you glad that Jesus came and set us free? So there are blessings and there are curses. They're real. And you see here in this text, this prophetic blessing is invoked by speaking out loud. And everything you see here, we're going to look upon it line upon line. I'm going to apply it to our lives, but you want to take this home and activate it. You need to speak blessing over your kids, blessing over your school, blessing over your church, blessing over the village, over the town, over Wasilla, over our nation. You need to declare blessing. Come on, somebody say, "Be blessed." Yeah, you need to speak that over your life. I speak it over my wife. She speaks it over me. I speak it over my mama, my dad, my son, my daughters. I speak blessing over them. It's important, and that's what you see happening here. And when God blesses you, there's no person on earth that can take it away except you. Except you. In Mark 7 and verse 13, it's worth going there and underlining. Jesus says, "You nullify the word of God by your tradition." Now think about that. He said, "Let there be light," and there's light. There's nothing more powerful than God's word. But you are so powerful, made in God's image, that you can nullify the word. Light didn't have a choice. Land didn't have a choice. Water didn't have a choice. But you, made in God's image, can nullify God's word, and you can nullify the blessings of God. through your behavior, through your actions, through your deeds. So blessings or curses are real, and no one can stop the blessing of God except you. Jesus blessed his disciples in Luke 24. When he ascended, he reached out his hands towards them and he blessed them, most likely praying Numbers chapter 6, the high priestly blessing, the Aaronic blessing, which I close every service 99% of the time. I close with Numbers chapter 6 because it is that which is passed down from the priests to us. They were commanded to bless them with that prayer. Lord, bless you and keep you. My great-grandfather blessed his family with that. I'm sure it was passed on to him by his father and the previous generations. And I've learned to pass it on to you and my own children. I've received a book from John Hagee a number of years ago called The Power of the Prophetic Blessing. It'd be worth buying. It's important. You need to prophesy over your children, prophesy over your life, over your family. You need to prophesy. You need to speak blessing over them. Some of you don't do that. Some of you are like, you're so stupid, or I'm so stupid. Those are called word curses. Would highly advise you to not word curse yourself. Don't talk about how you're dumb. Some of you stand in front of a mirror nearly every day and agree with how big your nose is, or how small it is, or how fat you are, or how thin you are, or if you only had straight teeth. You agree with how, oh, if I was just, you just hate the way that you're created. Culture has put something on you, and you're in disagreement with the way that you are. Not knowing or not realizing or being cognizant of the reality that while you were yet in your mother's womb, God knit you together, and God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make throwaway stuff. You're created in God's image and likeness. You're separated from God because of sin, but you're made united with God, or atoned, or atonement with him through his blood. You need to agree with what God says, not what the devil says. I had this precious lady in our church at the 4th of July event. She was at the parade, and she's so filled with joy. I mean, she's beaming, just beaming, shining, filled with joy. And I looked at her, and I said, I am so proud of you. She said, I'm just so grateful I don't have to cut myself anymore. I'm so grateful I don't have those bondages anymore. She said, I'm saved. I got Jesus and I have a church family and I'm just so glad to be here, Pastor. I thought, oh my gosh, yes. Come on, somebody say yes. Yes. Beautiful. Jacob had blessed Pharaoh. Writing your notes down, chapter 47. Ephraim and Manasseh were blessed in chapter 48. Powerful passage. Powerful message last week, I preached it. And in the final act here, it's the last will and testament, if you will, Jacob is blessing his family, son by son, blessing them and their tribes. And we're just going to look at three of them, but we're not going to look at Zebulun and all the different ones, but you can read through the whole chapter there and see it. Jacob's life begins with prophecy and it ends with a prophecy, so it's fitting. In Genesis 25, two nations are in your womb, it is said, of him and his brother Esau. And you, the stronger, you'll serve, the oldest will serve the youngest. This prophecy. And what's fascinating is we're about to look at the text, but it's fascinating that he begins to prophesy. He taught second and third person. It's unusual. You can spend a lot of time studying it. But it's a picture of the judgment seat of Christ, because they're all being held to account for the things they've done in their life, and they're receiving blessing and consequences. And it is really a type and shadow of 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one may receive the things done in the body, things according to what he's done, whether good or bad. You're saved by grace. You're judged by what you do. Let me run that through just one more time, because I have a feeling that everybody's listening. You're saved by grace. You are judged as a believer by what you do with it. You see, it's important because it makes every second worth living. Every second counts. All right, let's look at the text. It's a formal event where the future is told. Reuben And we'll read from verse 3 here in just a moment, verses 3 and 4. Reuben is Jacob's firstborn, man who had great privileges. Let's read here verse 3 of Genesis 49. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Well, that sounds amazing. Woo! Awesome. Being the firstborn is an awesome thing. But verse 4 is not so awesome at all. Verse 4, unstable as water. Oops. You shall not excel because you went up to your father's bed and you defiled it. You went up to my couch. You notice how he's talking his father's bed. I mean, this is Jacob talking. It's his father. It's interesting, the tone and tense and how he takes it. First person, second person, third person. He should have got the double blessing, but instead he's unstable as water. Now, if you look at this, what does unstable as water mean? It means that he couldn't control himself. Water will spill everywhere unless it's controlled, unless it's contained. In the Hebrew here, it's fluid, uncontrolled, easily spilled, an instability, inconsistency. It's a word that's used for moral weakness. So he's telling him, because of your lust problem, because of your moral weakness, he will not excel. Everybody say, he will not excel. He'll not excel. And I'm just put it plainly right here. Children's Church is on the other side of the building. He had sex with his father's concubine. And so he's basically disqualified himself. He lost that which would be given to the firstborn because of his sin. Next in line here, verse 5, 6, and 7. Let's read it. Simeon and Levi are brothers. This is over Simeon and Levi. Their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly, for they killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they pleased. Cursed be their anger, so fierce, and their fury so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel. They were violent and cruel and were cursed for it. It refers to their actions. It refers to the actions of killing all the men of Sachem. That's what he's referring to in your notes and on the screen. It refers to the actions that they did at Sachem. How many of you know that story? Wave your hand if you know that story. Dinah was their sister. And she was raped by the men of Sachem. And so they devised this plan, this violent, cruel plan, and as a result are cursed for it. Rape is horrible, and there needs to be justice. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have helped counsel people through all kinds of challenges. And I have had, on occasion, fathers grasping their shotgun to go fix the problem of that which took place with their daughter or their wife. And I thank God that I've not pastored or had to help anybody who actually went on to the deed and killed somebody for it. But if you've ever walked through that or been a recipient of that kind of violation, you understand that death is certainly what that person who violated you needs. Don't miss a place to say amen. Okay, but understand that Jesus died for that. It's not you to bring that. They'll all stand before God. Now don't go and take someone's life for doing some heinous crime like that. It's wicked. Everybody say it's wicked. It's wicked. And we have compassion and pray that God would heal you and perhaps your family if you've been through that. Well, what these brothers did is they said, oh, let's make a plan. Let's make a deal with them. Let's tell them we're going to go into covenant with them and they can be a part of Israel. So we'll make covenant with you, but you all have to get to the men. You all have to get circumcised first. And they're like, oh, what's that? Oh, okay. And so they do it. They all get circumcised. After they're circumcised, that's when Simeon and Levi attack. And how many of you know those men wouldn't be able to fight so good? How many of you understand that? Okay, I'm not going to get into, have the good doctor come up and give us a biology lesson on what that meant with the flint knife and everything, but they would not able to fight real well. They're still healing. And while they're in that state, they killed them all. It was a genocide. And that's where that comes from. And they hamstrung the oxen. It's interesting that their cruelty also, you can tell people by the way that they treat their pets, animals. Proverbs talks about that. A good man is kind to animals. So they're judged for that. They were violent, cruel. They were cursed for it. Refers to the killing of Sachem. And you'll see also that they have no inheritance. They were not to have an inheritance. And there's no inheritance for them. Then he goes on to the fourth son, Judah. And this passage of scripture here is profound. Verse 8, Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You're a lion's cub, Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down like a lioness. Who dares rouse him? Verse 10. Look at verse 10 with me. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nation shall be his. That is a messianic scripture. It's talking of the Messiah. Let's look at the first parts here. He'll be praised by his brothers. That's the first part of the oracle of Jacob or Israel. It's the same guy. Over Judah. And he'll have victory over his enemies. You know, Judah represents Israel, the lion of the tribe of Judah, through which would come David, King David, through which would come the Messiah. It's just so profound because it's thousands of years before. You say, Pastor, are you teaching the word right now? I mean, how am I even going to apply it? Hang on there. It's important to study this because when you see it and you understand the original scrolls of the Dead Sea Scrolls, that there's no way that man wrote this. And what it is talking about is the Messiah until Shiloh comes, says another version. I'm reading out of the NIV. It doesn't have that language there. It's talking about the Messiah. It's talking about King David. He would be a leader among his brothers. For he'd be a ruler of the domain of Israel like a lion in his territory. And he shifts, Jacob shifts from the description of what Judah had done and what Judah is like now, describes as a lion. And in your notes, the Messiah will come out of Judah. A scepter will not depart from Judah until the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he whom it belongs shall come, until Shiloh comes. That is a messianic scripture. Talking about David, but also talking about the Messiah. This is thousands of years. It's amazing to me when you look at scripture and you see Genesis 3 at the fall of mankind, the proto-evangelium, proto-pro-evangelium. The first time the gospel's preached is in Genesis chapter 3, where the fall of mankind happens and then God speaking and declaring that the seed of the woman will crush the head of Satan. The seed of the woman, singular seed of the woman. Isaiah talks about from a virgin would come forth Emmanuel, God with us. And you know what happens? Jesus is born of a virgin. He's the seed of the woman and he crushed the head of Satan. And this is again a prophetic declaration that the Messiah would come from Judah. It is so profound. And you spend time, I encourage you to dig into the word. Don't just read through. Well, I wonder what that means. And then just move on. There's so many resources just because you can go online now and you can check chat if you want to, but you're going to be careful because many times they're wrong. But there is incredible resources to be able to study God's word to understand. Why would I do that? Because it causes your faith to grow. It causes your faith to grow. Right, our destiny and that of our descendants is affected by our behavior as we move on now. What does this mean for me? What does this mean to me right now? What does this have to do with living the dream? I'm just going to tell you what it has to do with living the dream is your behavior will affect your children, will affect your family, will affect your church, will affect your community. You know, it could very well be that because we showed up at Senator Murkowski's office said things shifted. She was a deciding vote. Could it be that on that, it's possible. Listen, I believe that when you show up somewhere, if you're full of God, full of faith, full of the Spirit of God, that God's going to move in power. Come on, some of you don't see yourself the way that God wants you to see. God wants you to see yourself as an advocate, as a minister of reconciliation, as someone who that when you show up, it literally will affect destiny. Our children, my children, Hannah and Daniel, are serving God because we serve God. They didn't just, I just want them to choose when they get of age. You're an idiot. Oh, sorry. What word should I use, Pastor Karen? No, I just don't think that they should be God. Like, show me some biblical principle of where that is, because kids, listen, sin is bound up in the human heart. That's what's in the human heart. You don't have to teach a kid to not share. They don't share. Oh, your kids do? Oh, okay. Kids generally don't share. They're not just as pure things. No, sin is in the human heart of a child. Foolishness is in a child. They need to be trained. We gave our kids lots of training. Amen. We prayed that God would give us world changers. Before we ever had children on the way, we looked out at the church. We were serving with all our hearts, and we could see different families, and they had kids that were like thriving and just filled with joy. And you could see the difference, and other ones were just like little tyrants. I mean, like, I got one of those. Well, that's up to you. Yes, you pray for world changers and you get a strong-willed child. Then you need to learn how to coach them and train them, and you might need some prayer and support with that. I remember at one point, one of our children, which I will not name, just thought that we were insane. Said, "You guys are crazy. You're totally crazy. You can't watch any of the movies that everybody else is watching. Everybody else watches those movies. How come you don't watch them?" I said, "Because we're Christians. We don't watch that stuff. We don't do that. We have no partnership with darkness." Well, other people, I said, "Well, we're not other people." Gosh, you guys are crazy. I mean, all this stuff. And I remember getting at one point, we said, "You can call any one of our friends and ask them their opinion about it." And we gave them a list of people they could call. How many of you know we selected the list? I think that happened once. On one occasion, we contacted one parent and one of our children, one of our children presented the case and said, "What would you do if that was in your family to this other parent?" And the parent said the exact thing we said. Why? Because it's scripture, man. Hello? He said, "Well, my kids don't want to go to church." "Do they want to go to school?" "No." "Do you make them go?" "Yes." A 10-year-old, precious lady said, "My 10-year-old just doesn't want to come to church." I'm like, "Why are you giving him a choice? He doesn't like it." "He doesn't know what he likes. You help him. You mold him." So, but that's controlling. Yeah. It's called parenting. Imagine that. Parenting. My behavior, my wife's behavior, is directly related to the victory my kids are walking in. And you need to see that. You need to see that the destiny of your destiny and the destiny of your descendants is affected by your behavior. You see that in this text. I share many stories about my mama, who's on the third row. You look beautiful today, Mom. Second row. And I don't know, she just really helped me when I first got saved. And I shared in the first service, I was sitting in a 1996 Ford Ranger, I think it was. And she said, "Son, you have sowed a lot of bad seeds." I'm like, "I know." She's like, "All right, take my hand." So I took my mother's hand. She said, "Now let's pray right now for crop failure." How many of you need need a crop failure. Yeah, like some of the stuff that you have done, you'd just be fantastic if the Lord just wiped that out. And yet there's consequences that you'll live with. Lifetime consequences. Oh, God will forgive you, but you're going to have a lifetime of consequences. No matter what you've done, God will forgive you because of his blood, but there's consequences. I hate that. Our destiny and that of our descendants are affected by our behavior. And you say, well, I haven't done real good. Well, you can change. This is the first day of the rest of your life today. Welcome to the rest of your life. Begin to choose rightly. My son calls me regularly. We FaceTime, my daughter as well. And he was talking to me about this family that he's just brokenhearted about. And how you just see this incremental destruction. And what I've noticed is, I've noticed people that are faithful to the house of God. They come, they keep on coming, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. And what I've noticed for those who really go after God and are committed and live in covenant, I've noticed the blessing of God come on their life. I noticed their marriages seem to make it. I know that their children as they're raised. And listen, I've been around 19 years this October. That's a little while. I've done weddings for some kids. There were kids here. Now they're adults and we did weddings. I've seen it over the years. Been pastoring going on 30 years. I've seen people that come into the house of God, and when they stay and they learn to live right and they fall in love with God and they have a life of prayer and they have a life of the word. And when they run into difficulties, they draw near to God, they draw near to counsel, and they flesh it out. They work it out. Their life ends up blessed. But then there's a whole other group of people that just seemingly make dumb choices. Lift your hands to heaven. Say, Lord, help me not be dumb. Come on, say, I'm going to make good choices. Yes. You make good choices. You know how many incredible leaders are here? Business leaders, entrepreneurs, educators, doctors, lawyers, all here. People that have given their life to the things of God. People that have been walking in the Lord 50, 60 years. There's hundreds and hundreds of years of wisdom, biblical wisdom, in this house right now. You've got to develop relationships with people. I heard the statistic that your income, this is interesting. So your income is the average sum total of the 10 people you hang out with. If you look at the 10 closest people you spend time with, and you were to find out, this is a statistic, you were to find out how much money they all make, on average, that's what you would be making. The average of the total of the 10 people over time. So what does that have to do with the price of beans in Boston? Well, it's an expression of that scripture that says bad company corrupts good character. Because bad company corrupts good character, absolutely. But you know what good character does? It releases blessing on those who spend time with people of good character. When you spend time with people that have vision, you spend time with people that live right, you spend time with people that are committed to being married and living holy, tithing, serving, people of prayer, something happens to your life. I am going to finish my race, so help me God. Anybody else? I'm going to live the dream. I'm going to say yes right now. I'm going to say yes tonight. I'm going to say yes tomorrow and the day after. I am committed to finish the race that God has called us to. How about you? Are you committed to finish your race? All right, you can live blessed, and that blessing can be passed down. Oh, I'm sorry, go back. Go back, go back, go back. We can be redeemed. Things can change. I've been redeemed. Anybody else, as the keys come, you can be redeemed. Redeemed, you can be purchased. You can be brought out of darkness, translated out of darkness into the kingdom of his son. You might be here in a place of brokenness, that God can set you free, like that precious girl that told me at the parade, I don't have to cut myself anymore. I've been set free. I've been set free. Soon her whole family will be here. Why would they all be here? Keys, please. Why would they all be here? Simply because when you look and you see the transformation of this precious happens to be woman, but it could be a man, it could be a boy, it could be a girl. You see the transformation, you just go, there's got to be a God. Because how did that happen? I knew you before. Lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hands to Jesus. God, thank you. The curse is broken off of our lives. And we decree and proclaim the blessing. Come on, speak blessing over your family. Blessing over my marriage. Blessing over my children. Blessing over my finances. Blessing. The blessing of God over my health. I have divine health. Say that. I have divine health. I walk in favor. I'm going to fulfill the dream. Come on, say it. I'm going to fulfill the dream. I'm redeemed. If you've never given your life to Jesus, don't leave this place in that condition. The reason we built this building is to house thousands of people like we're doing right now. To reach people. It's a training center. It's a place of awakening, a place of healing. It's like a hospital. You might have been raised in a home that was broken, but you can make a difference. You can choose wholeness instead of brokenness. How do I do that, Pastor? Well, the first step is give your life to Jesus. Repent of your sin. Repent of your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you're cleansed from all unrighteousness, what is left? Righteousness. Somebody said, I'm just a sinner. You might be, I'm not. You're never gonna hear me saying that. You will never hear me say that. I just can't stand that religious hogwash. I'm just a sinner. Are you? Sinners practice sin. If you're practicing sin, go ahead and take that title. But I would suggest that you get away from that and realize, no. I'm not a sinner. I used to sin. Oh, no. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Oh, God's with me. Oh, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. My daughter is blessed. My son is blessed. My wife is blessed. My finances are blessed. My house is blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I used to be bound. I used to be broken. I gave my life to Jesus. He washed my sins away. I surrendered my life to Jesus. Now born again. The old is gone. The new has come. The curse. The curse that rested upon my family is broken because the Bible says that he who hangs on a tree became a curse for you and me. Galatians. I'm blessed. Line your mouth up with what God's word says. Say, but I don't feel blessed. Who said that your feelings are in charge of your destiny? Some of you live according to your feelings. Torture. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost. Once was bound. Once was blind. Oh God, thank you for your love that invades this place right now. Release hope over families. That's some special category of people that get the blessing of God. It's all who call upon the name of the Lord. It's all who want to live and contend and stand on your word, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change the way you think. Change the way you think. I don't care if you came from a long line of perverts and broken, poverty-stricken people. Change things today. The blessing of God is for you. You take it. You've got to. He promises a promised land, but you have to possess it. You got to drive out all the ites. Woo. Lift your hands to Jesus. Come on, say, I'm going to drive them out. You can live blessed, and that blessing can be passed down. I'm convinced I'm living in something that I didn't have anything to do with, except I entered into it by faith, generationally. And you might be the first, the generations that'll serve God, but make sure you're not the last by living right. Lift your voice and worship Him. Lift your voice and praise His name. Lift your voice and declare the blessing of God. I bless my generations. Come on, say it. I bless my generations. If you're married, bless your wife. If you're married, bless your husband. If you're married, bless your kids. Come on. I bless the church. I bless this church. I thank you that we are multiplying. We are increasing. I thank you that there's more than enough. Come on, begin to just make declarations from God's word. I'm the head and not the tail. Dude, just open to Deuteronomy and start reading it. You'd be like, that's a little extra. You need to shake free of that cultural apathy. There's an apathy that's on our culture that says, well, the Lord knows, you know, He just, yeah, He knows. And He releases it to the bold, to those who will stand on His word and know that they'll see it performed by faith, the declaration, confident assurance of what you cannot see. If you see it in the word, then you stand on it, you read it. That's why this place will be paid off. That's why it's here, by faith. What does God want to do in your family? What are you passing down? Don't be apathetic about it. Apathetically, you just don't really care. Well, God knows, and if He wants to give it to me, oh no. Lethargic. Some of you lazy because you got hopeless and you got over into despair and you lost your fire, you lost your zeal. Get it back. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. There's a spiritual violence that'll release the blessing of God. And without that spiritual violence, you have to set it up in your mind that you're never going to back off, never going to shut up. You're not going to cave into smooth need and apathetic heart. You're not going to do it. You're going to have fire and power and authority and favor. When you pull up to the store, there's going to be a parking lot for you right there when it's 25 below zero. You'll be right next to the door. Come on, say, I've got favor. God has blessed all of us because of His Son. Without His Son, we have no blessing. Where are you at in God today?
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. May God's face shine upon you.